Hallelujah. Woo. Ain't God good? Amen. Take your Bible this morning. Turn with me to the book of the Song of Solomon. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and then the Song of Solomon. Psalms is right in the middle of your Bible. Find it and keep going to the right. You'll find the book of the Song of Solomon. Not a lot of preachers preach from the book of the Song of Solomon. I've heard it criticized. I've heard it downplayed. Some even say that it should not have been included in the canon of Scripture. And if you believe that, you need mental health. Amen. Nowhere in the Bible is there a prettier picture of the relationship of the child of God and his Savior. The book of Song of Solomon is a story about a relationship between a man and a woman and their love for one another. Nowhere else in the Bible do you find a human or physical relationship more detailed or more described than this relationship is described. And by the way, we should have, and I don't mean this in a sexual sense by any means, but we ought to be in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we ought to have not just a spiritual relationship, but a physical relationship, just like Sister April said. I don't base my salvation on a feeling, but thank God for what I can feel. Amen. That's physical. Are we okay? I love the book of Song of Solomon. I preached a series several years ago on marriage in the home, and I preached through the book of Song of Solomon and talked about how a husband ought to treat his wife. Amen. Probably ought to do that again. Say amen, ladies. Amen. We got so many people getting married, y'all probably need to hear some of that. Amen. I talked about how a lady needs to respond to and treat her husband. Amen. And I think that stuff's needful in our churches. But this morning, I want to look at something, and I've never went in this direction with this chapter before, but I want to show you something this morning that I think will be a help to you. In Song of Solomon, chapter number five, if you're there, say amen. Amen. I want you to look at verse number 8. Chapter 5 and verse number 8. This is the woman in the story. And she says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved. I love that they call each other their beloved. Did you know the Lord calls us His beloved? The Bible said that I am accepted in the beloved. Thank God. She said, if you see my beloved, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. Y'all ever heard the old saying, so-and-so's love sick? That's where they get that right there. Said, tell him that I am sick of love. So I picture this lady who is in love with this man, and he's out on business or whatever the case may be, and she, I can just see, you know how a bunch of women are when they get together. I got one man brave enough to say amen right there. The rest of you a bunch of cowards, amen. You know how a bunch of women are. They get to cackling and going on. And I can just see this lady. I picture a baby shower. We used to call them hen parties. Now they've changed the rules and the men have to go. I'm glad I grew up when I did. I'm done with all that. Amen. I grew up when women went to showers and men took showers. Amen. Y'all will be all right. I can see this group of women around, and she says to the daughters of Jerusalem, if you see my beloved, tell him for me that I'm lovesick. I'm sick of love. My heart aches for him, if you will. But then this gang of women in verse number 9 respond to her. This is where I want to bring the thought this morning. She said, if you see him, if you find him, tell him I love him. In verse number 9, they said, what is thy beloved more than another? What is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women. Boy, you won't meet many women that would own up to somebody being fairer than they are. They said, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? She looks at these women at the baby shower, and hey, I don't know it's a baby shower, I'm just guessing. She looks at these women and she says, if you see my lover, if you see my beloved, tell him I love him. Tell him I miss him so bad. And this group of women around here said, well, what is it about your beloved that makes him so different than another beloved? What is it about your man that makes him better than my man? Are you with me this morning? Remember, we're talking about a picture of Christ and His church. Or Christ and His bride. They look at this lady, Brother Charles, and they said, okay, we understand you're in love and you've gone on and on and on about your man. What's so good about him? What's so good about him? What's the big deal? There's thousands of fish in the sea. What sets him apart from another? Maybe there's some today that would look within the Baptist church or the Christian faith and say, what's so good about your God than just any other God? There are many gods, do you understand that? And we spell them little or lowercase G-O-D. But you need to understand this morning there is one God. Let me say that again. There is one God and one mediator between man and God, and that is the man Christ. There's one God. Many gods, but one true and living God. The poor Muslim may look at us this morning and say, what's better about Jesus Christ or Jehovah God than Muhammad or Allah? The Oriental may look at us and say, what's better about your God than Confucius or Buddha? What's so different about him? What sets him apart from another? You know, there are many average, just little gods. Some people got them on their dashboard. And that's their God. Some people have a statue. And that's their God. Some people light candles. And that's their God. Are y'all listening to me this morning? What is it that sets our God apart and makes him so special? And by the way, I think he is. This world has gone half crazy over these false gods. I heard about, it's either a movie star or a rock star, pop star. Somebody famous this past week or so. I heard it on the radio. If y'all know who it is, tell me, and we'll call their name publicly. But they had a boy, and they named him Isis. That's the stupidest thing I've heard. That'd be like you having a kid and naming him Lucifer. Y'all all right? Many gods out there. But I like this. They said in verse number 9, what's so good about it? What makes your man better than my man? And maybe you're looking this morning or somebody listening on the internet or whatever. Maybe somebody's looking in saying, what makes your God better than my God? And it's just like a loaded question. They ask her, what's so better about your beloved than another beloved? What makes him better than all these others running around here? And I can just see her face light up, Brother Todd. When they asked that question, I bet she said something like we would. Oh, I'm glad you asked. Oh, I'm glad you asked. All I need is an opportunity to tell you why my man's better than your man. All I need is an open door. Just crack it a little bit. And I'll be glad to tell you what's better about my man than all your men put together. Now, I don't know about you, but as a Christian, All I need is an opportunity to tell you about my God. Just crack the door a little bit, and I'll tell you what makes Jesus wonderful. I'll tell you what makes him absolutely better than any God that's ever been or ever will be. She says, oh, look at verse number 10. She said, just let me tell you, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies dropping sweet smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with beryl. His belly is bright ivory overlaid with sapphire. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Now I want you to notice what she did. A lot of that wouldn't fit our vernacular today. But what she did, Brother Freddie, is these women said, what's so much better about your man than my man? She took everything she could imagine that was great and wonderful. She took everything and every part of his body from his head to his toe. She picked everything that was superior to anything she could think of, and she said, that's him. Amen. She said, this is my beloved, my friend. Amen. She picked all the best things she could think of, from the gold and the beryl and the marble of his legs and the gold of his hair. And she mentioned all that stuff, and she said, that's him. He's better than anything else. He's better than anything you got. Hey, this morning, like that song said, there's not enough words. There's not enough words to describe him. There's not enough notes in the music. Hey, all I know to do is tell you I love him, and he's better than anything this world's got to offer. He's better than any drug. He's better than any alcohol. He's better than any party. I'm here to tell you, he's better than any relationship. There ain't nothing better than Jesus. I want to tell you this morning what's so good about him. I want to tell you what's so good about my Savior. What makes my God better than all the rest. Better than all the rest. Isaiah, just keep going to the right. Isaiah chapter number 40. Let me just give you these right quick. What time is it? Well, well. I'm used to being 2 hours behind. So bear with me. I'm still on New Mexico time. Nobody laughed. Y'all like, oh my goodness, we're in trouble this morning. Amen. I usually say I'm only an hour away from Alabama. So, I mean, four exits from Alabama, so we'll go on their time. Y'all'd rather me do that than you had New Mexico, huh? Isaiah chapter number 40. I'll rush through this, but I got to give you this. I got to tell somebody why my God's better than your God. I got to tell somebody why my God's better than Muhammad. I got to tell somebody why my God's better than Joseph Smith. I got to tell somebody why my God's bigger than Brigham Young. I got to tell somebody why my God's bigger than a big fat golden Buddha. I got to tell somebody why my God's better than anything else. There ain't none like him. He said, I'm the Lord, and there ain't none beside me. Isaiah chapter number 40, I want to show you some things about my God. Number one, he dictates nature. He dictates nature. That's pretty cool. Now, there's a lot of gods can claim a lot of things, but I got one who's running the show. I got one who caused the sun to rise this morning. He caused it to set last night. Oh, if you've ever been out west, if you ever, Montana's called Big Sky Country, and all that out west is like that. Man, you looks like you can just pick the stars out of the sky. Looks like you can just reach up and grab them and put them in your pocket. Man, I'm talking about, I serve the God who dictates every bit of that. You know what? You know what it means? How many of you have been a secretary? A few of you. My wife went to school and learned how to do, what do you call that? Where you listen to the doctor and you type what they say? Transcription. She is a certified transcriptionist. She ain't never done it, but she is one. She's got a degree, amen. That's taking dictation. In other words, you are putting to paper what somebody else vocalized or said. Everything you see in creation is a dictated note of my God. He didn't make the sun to shine. He told it to. He didn't create heaven and earth. He just spoke it. That's pretty wild, ain't it? All those beautiful mountains we saw, and all the desert and the plains and the mesas and the plateaus we saw this week. My God did every bit of that. He dictates nature. I got to hurry. Isaiah chapter number 40, and look with me at verse number 7. The Bible said, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Amen. Amen. Look at Isaiah. Look down at verse number 12. The Bible said of Isaiah chapter number 40, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hands, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance." Wow. Can you imagine that? Somebody said that 70-something, I'm thinking this right, 70-something percent of the earth's surface is water. That's why we ought to fish 70% of the time and work 30% of the time. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. I believe it's God's will everybody have a bass boat. Hallelujah. Mine's named, well, Chase has got it now. Mine's named Visitation. I'm serious. Right across the back of my boat, John, it says Visitation. I had Brother Jason Bice make me them letters and put on there. People call my wife, say, "Where's the preacher?" "Oh, he's on Visitation." Somebody said, "Man, that preacher visits more than anybody I've seen in my life." Amen. 70-something percent of the earth covered in water. And watch this now. The Bible just said, I didn't say it, the Bible said that our God, who is better than every other God, measured it in the palm of his hand. That's pretty good. I'm telling you, he dictates nature. He dictates nature. Let's keep reading. But in verse 13, he said, "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him?" I've done jumped down to my next point. Let's leave that alone. We'll come back to it. Look at Isaiah chapter number 50, just over a couple of pages. Isaiah chapter number 50. I got to hurry. Y'all okay? Yeah. Isaiah chapter number 50. Look at verse number 2. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse number 2. "Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dry and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness. I make sackcloth their covering." Are you understanding what God said? I'm in control of this thing. We're living in a day when two parties in America think they rule the world. To hear the Democrats say it, they got all the answers. To hear the Republicans say it, they have all the answers. Everybody look up here real good. Ain't none of them got the answers. They can't control their own lives. Boy, got quiet. If that's where your hope's at, you're in a mess. I'm telling you, my God's bigger than the government. He ain't trying to straighten out the economy. He owns it. Psalms chapter 107 and verse number 25, the Bible said, "For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof." Mark chapter 4 and verse 39, the Bible said, "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still." Amen. Listen, he's great and he's better than all the rest because he dictates nature. Amen. Listen, he can still our storms. little turmoil going on in Mama's heart this morning. She said, pray for me. I got to have a biopsy in the morning. I got a God who can handle that. Yes, I ain't a faith healer, but I got faith in a healer. Yes. Are you listening? Yes, I got a text. I got a text. I believe it was on Thursday, Brother Sean. You text me. Somebody did. I think it was Brother Sean. And said they said little Sophia's cancer is back. Well, you know what I did immediately? I said, oh, God. I called on one who can do something about it. Amen. He dictates nature. He can still the storm. Hey, some of you come in this morning with a storm raging in your heart and a storm raging in your life and a storm raging in your home. I'm talking about a God this morning who is better than all the gods because He can control the storm in your life. Amen. Them dead gods can't do nothing about it. Number two, He's better than all the rest because He dictates nature, but He's better than all the rest because He don't answer to anybody. He answers to no one. He has no hierarchy. There's no main office He has to contact when He wants to do something. Are you listening? He is the supreme authority. That's the trouble in America, is authority. Nobody respects any sort of authority. There's a lot of people who won't be saved because they have the attitude, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Oh, yes, they will. Jump in your car and head toward Dallas right here and see if you can get to about 65 before you get to the Jitney Junior food store down here. That's the speed trap of all speed traps right there.
Amen.
Oh yeah. You go ahead and tell Barney you don't care. He got some brand new silver bracelets, fits you just right. Amen. You got to realize there is an authority. But let me just tell you something. And I'm just going to bump this and go. Hey, the Bible said that he's not just a king, but He's the King of Kings. He is the supreme authority. I got the one who cast all the other gods down. Y'all remember when they brought that Ark of the Covenant? Y'all remember that's where the mercy seat was in the cherubim? They brought that Ark of the Covenant and they brought it into that house where, what was that God's name? Was it Dagon? Where old Dagon lived. By the way, old Dagon wasn't nothing but a head. Just a cement head. I don't know if I want to pray to a God who's got a head full of cement. I got enough church members like that. Amen. Head full of cement. They brought that Ark of the Covenant in there and they set the representation of Jehovah God right over there by old Dagon.
Amen.
They thought, we'll just put the gods together and see what happened. Well, they come in the next morning, old Dagon done fell off in the floor.
Amen.
Cracked his head. You know why? Because he couldn't stand before Almighty God. Because he was in the presence. Oh, what old Dagon was doing was a bowing.
Yes, he was.
Amen. Yes, you're God.
Yeah.
I'm a God, but I'm a lesser God. Yes. You are the God.
Amen.
I'm just trying to tell you this morning that our God not only dictates to nature, but He doesn't answer to anybody.
Amen.
He said, I am the Lord, and beside me there is none other.
Amen.
Listen. He dictates nature. He don't answer to no one. Listen, He stills our storms, but He's self-sustained. You say, where does God get His power? From Himself. He don't depend on some other source for power. He don't depend on another source for strength. He don't depend on another. I don't think He has a library commentaries. I don't think He has to refer to Funkin' Wagnalls to understand what this book's saying. Somebody help me right there. I don't think He has to have a lexicon. You see, the author has no need of anybody to tell him what his own book means. He answers to nobody. He is the supreme source of power and knowledge and strength and might. Whew. He dictates nature. He doesn't answer to anyone. Thirdly, I got to run through this. He delights in mercy. What makes my God better? He delights in mercy. But somebody said that Islam was the fastest growing religion in the world. And I believe that. They're recruiting like the army never has. We were preaching, where was I at? I was in Connecticut last year. A little 17-year-old girl ran away from home to meet a boy she met on the internet, Muslim. She got to where he was, you know what they did? They took her in captivity. I'm talking about an American girl. Could happen to anyone in this room. That doesn't sound like a merciful God to me, who takes his subjects by force. Doesn't sound like a merciful God to me, whose key role is to kill, to torture, and to maim. Are we okay? Now listen, God is a God of wrath, and he will execute judgment, but he delights in mercy. He doesn't enjoy wrath. That's what sets him apart from Allah. If you'll watch the videos, you can find them on YouTube, and you can watch the Muslims sawing the heads off of Christians vividly, and that whole crowd's cheering while they do it. No, God's a father who loves his children. You ever spanked your child and cried more than they did? That's the way God executes wrath. It grieves his heart to have to do it, but he delights in mercy. Look at Psalms 103 right quick. I gotta hurry, I know. Psalms 103. Y'all still okay? I'm talking about your God. It ought to excite you a little bit. If you're saved, it ought to fire you up that you've got the best thing there is available to you and I. And by the way, we've got the best thing there is, not just available to us, but period. There ain't nothing better than him. Psalms 103. Psalms 103 and verse number 8. He said, mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me. I'm in the wrong place. Psalms 103 and verse number 8. Here we go. That sounds like it. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. You ought to thank God for that. Look at verse number 11. Verse number 11 of Psalms 103. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Look at verse number 17. Verse number 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Thank God he delights in mercy. Thank God you better thank God he delights in mercy. How many of you got it better than you deserve? Somebody help me right there. You got it better than you. You eating better than you deserve. You driving better than you deserve. You living better than you deserve. You wearing better than you deserve. You dating better than you deserve. You're married to better than you deserve. Hey, I'm here to tell you, we got better than we deserve. Thank God he dictates nature. He steals our storm. He doesn't answer to anybody. He's self-contained, and he delights in mercy and gives us a surety of forgiveness. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something. I can point you to several people this morning that ought to be in prison right now. Brother Jason's looking up here like, don't. Hey, it goes far beyond him. But for the mercy of God, that's where you'd sit this morning. Some of you men sitting here taking your wife for granted, you better thank God for mercy. I'm up here. I said you better thank God for mercy. You didn't get what you deserved. You got mercy and you got grace. That's what makes my God better. Listen, I get a little ahead of myself. There's a God out there that if you serve him, he asked you to die for him. I serve a God who said, if you'll live, I'll die for you. Yes. Amen. He dictates nature. I got to quit. He don't answer to anyone. He delights in mercy, and I love this. Look at Psalm 68. Just back up. Now I'll just quote it to you. Psalm 68. Watch this. He dictates nature. He don't answer to anyone. He delights in mercy. But watch this. He daily provideth for us. Can you imagine God so big and so great that He takes care of all of His children all over the world every single day? My, my, my. Psalms chapter number 68 and verse number 19, the Bible said, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." Even the God of our salvation, Selah. Hey, He gives us our daily bread. Thank God I've got a God who provides for me. Are you listening? I have ate like a pig this week. I got a tapeworm. That's why it don't show nowhere. I eat so much it makes me poor to tote it. I don't know if I can ever go to a Mexican restaurant around here again, except for the blue agave. That's pretty good. I'm talking about some of the best Mexican food I ever ate in my life. Mmm, good. Good. They had a retired chef. A retired chef. He's cooked for governors. He cooked for us every night. We had enchiladas Friday night. Blow your mind. They put green chilies on everything. They probably put it in ice cream. I don't know. McDonald's got a green chili burger. I ain't kidding, man. It was good stuff. You know what that cost me? It didn't cost me a dime. They just said, eat all you want. I'm just trying to tell you, I got a God who provides for me every single day. God provides me so well. You know one of the biggest problems I've had all day? Trying to decide what to put on.
Come on. Wow. Amen.
Trying to decide what to put on. I stood there, Brother Todd, in my closet, and I went, huh? No, I ain't wearing that. I've been wearing that stuff all week. What I need to wear is more. I called my wife in there. What tie goes with this gray suit? Did she do good? What tie goes with this gray suit? What a good problem to have.
Yes, sir. Amen.
How many of you open the pantry, or how many of you ever open the refrigerator door and just stand there and stare at it? Like it's a television or something. You open that door and you just stand there. Anybody like that? I'll open that pantry door, flip a light on, just stand there. Microwave popcorn, sauce and chips, potted meat and crackers. Hallelujah, brother. Vine or sausage. That's Alabama round steak right there, brother. Sloppy Joe's, tortilla soup. I mean, you just go on and on, having to decide, what do I want? I'm telling you, God provides for me. Everything I own is because of Him. I told Levi Friday, we were up at Los Alamos. We were hiking down that trail. Then we went to, what was that place, that other place? Where we seen the deer. Yeah, we went there. Where them Indians used to live in holes in the mountains, in the caves. We crawled up in them things. We was walking around and I told Levi, I said, isn't it amazing? Your son's 3 years old. Three. We would ask him during the week, say, Mason, where are we? He'd say, New Mexico. He sounded like a little Mexican. He said, we're in New Mexico. I said, your son's 3 years old. Been more places than most people go in their entire life. I said, you want me to tell you why that is? He said, I know why, Daddy. It's because we serve God. It's because we serve God. Stacy makes fun of me all the time. He said, you don't travel to preach. You just go places where the hunting's good and the fishing's good and people and where they got good quarter horses. That's what you do. And he makes fun of me all the time. Hey, look, man, I go to serve God, but I get all the benefits on top of that.
Amen.
I make no apologies.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, He provides for us. You can't beat serving God. You can't. Let me just say it again. You can't beat serving God. I told you years ago what the old black preacher said. He said, I got a shovel, and I shovel what I got into God's bin, and God's got a shovel, and he shovels what he's got back into my bin, and I take my shovel and shovel what I got into his bin, and then God takes his shovel. Somebody said, wait a minute, all you're doing is moving stuff back and forth. He said, no, no. He said, God's shovel is so much bigger than mine.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, my God's better because he provides for me every day.
Amen.
Amen. He actually cares. He dictates the nature. He stills our storms. He doesn't answer to anybody. He's self-sustained. He delights in mercy, surety of forgiveness he grants us. He daily provides for us. He satisfies our longing. Let me close this up right quick. Let me say fifthly, he died for us. He died for us. Let me tell you something that sets my God apart from every other God. All the rest of them died too. Or actually never really existed. But all the rest of them. You go to old Muhammad's grave, and guess who's in there? His bones. He died. He's dead. You go to any of them other gods' graves, you know what you find? A dead God. You know what you go, what you find, you go to Jesus' grave? Nothing. Scientists say that in that tomb, there is no evidence that a body ever decayed there. I don't need science. I got a Bible. I believe that before there's ever a scientist. Amen. Why? Because the Bible said he not only died for me, but he rose again and lives for me. Hallelujah. He died for us. John chapter 15 and 13. The Bible said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Listen, he died for us. That's what makes him better. He saves our souls. When it comes to the issue of heaven and earth, heaven and hell, I had a Savior to go to. For by grace are you saved. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God. Thank God. I'm standing before you saved this morning on my way to heaven when I die. Why? Because he died for me. And I get to live for him. Whew. Well, I got to hurry. He died for us. That makes him better. He daily provides for us. That makes him better. He delights in mercy. That makes him better. He doesn't answer to anyone. That makes him better. He dictates to nature. That makes him better. Hey, listen. Look, two more and I'm done. Two more and I'm just going to hit these and we'll have the altar call. He defeated death for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 53 through the rest of the chapter, we always read this at the graveside. But I'm glad what the apostle said, but thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Victory over what? Death, hell, and the grave.
Yeah.
You know what he says? You know what he says? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory?
Amen.
Thank God we don't have to... We've had a lot of funerals this year, and we've shouted a lot of people home to glory. Why? Because he already defeated death for us.
Amen.
What a God. What a God. What makes him better than all the other beloved? She said, sit down right there and let me tell you. Let me tell you. Thank God he died for us and he defeated death for us. Lastly, and I'm done, he draws sinners. He draws lost people unto him. John 12 and verse 32, Brother Todd, y'all come. The Lord said, if I be lifted up from earth, will I draw all men unto me. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10, he said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Thank God he searches for the sheep. Listen, let me tell you something. Let's stand our feet all over the house. He draws sinners. When the Pharisees tried to find something to accuse him, you know what they said? They said he's a friend of publicans and sinners. What I'm trying to say is when nobody else wants you, he does. When nobody else loves you, he does. When nobody else cares, he does. And when nobody else can, he can. Why? Because he's better than all the other gods. He's superior to all the other gods. What's so good about him? What's so good about him? Everything. Everything. Here's what Pilate said as he judged him. I find no fault in this man. I've examined him. I've examined his life. I've heard the testimony. I can't find nothing wrong with him. Let's bow our heads all over the house.